Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our Old Testament lesson from Genesis chapter 3, as well as our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 4. Well, this morning we have scripture lessons that, quite frankly, explain in large part why we are here every Sunday. And more importantly, they explain a lot about Lent. So we start from the beginning. In the beginning, we had the serpent, the man, the woman, and God. And just so we know what we're talking about here, the serpent is the devil. So you can write this down in your bulletins there. Look up Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, which reads, "The great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world." Okay, so we've got the serpent there, the devil, the great deceiver. And so in our Old Testament lesson, what does it say about him? Well, it says that, well, quite frankly, he's very crafty. Now, we're not talking about the folks who make all our crafts here for Sunday morning that we're selling here, okay? Not that kind of crafty. But rather, we're talking about how he is what? He's shrewd, all right? And sly. More so than any of the other creatures that God had made. So, what do we have here? Well, since the beginning of creation here, so things are all brand new. People are getting used to what's going on here, so it's not unusual that something else there speaks. And so, the serpent comes up to Eve and speaks to her. And so what does he say? He said, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Now, if you go back just one chapter, chapter 2 there in Genesis, you find that God gave these instructions, that you can eat of anything here in the garden, save this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. Now, at that point in time, Adam was the only human being on the planet. So, who does the devil come up to first? Asks Eve, "Did God really say that?" Now, she heard that from Adam. She did not hear that from God. So, what is the serpent doing there? Well, he's creating doubt. Are you sure God said that? Really? Is that something that you need to worry about? And so what does he reply? He replies with there. It's like, "No, you're not going to die." Really? It's the complete opposite of what God said. God said, "You will surely die." And the servants are saying, "No, no, 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 no. You're not going to die." And what do we have here? Lie upon lie upon lie. It's lying to her, saying something completely contrary to God's word. Okay? Think about it. Adam and Eve have only one commandment, just one. Don't eat from this tree. And that's it. Okay? Otherwise, they are in perfect relationship with God. Don't eat from that. It's kind of like saying that, well, hey, this is no longer a sin. How many times have we heard that in our culture today? Well, that's no longer a sin anymore. Okay, getting right back to here. This is no longer a sin. If you eat of that, you're not going to die. And then what else does he do? Well, he adds his own promise. "For God knows that if you eat of it, you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So, the woman, she takes some of the fruit, thinking, it's like, ooh, it's going to make her wise. Wow, they are in a perfect relationship with God. Got everything they need, save the one thing that they are not God, and so they will be like God if they eat it. So, the woman got a piece of the fruit, gave some to the man who was standing there the whole time listening. And he did nothing. Eve always gets a bad rap. That's always her fault. Adam's just as guilty. God told him in the first place, and he told her, and now here she's saying, "Well, hey, have some. Thanks, believe it will." Wow. So what was the biggest consequence for the man and the woman? They would die. "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Words spoken by God to the man and woman." words spoken to you as you received ashes on your forehead this past Wednesday. A reminder of that first sin, a reminder of our future as well. We too will die. You know, Adam and Eve, they were designed to live forever. But when they sinned, they lost that life. And if you don't have that life, you can't pass it on. The devil, the tempter, somewhere along the line, from that first day of creation up until this very point here with Adam and Eve, well, he fell from God's grace. He rebelled against God. And so as a consequence then, well, what does Scripture say? Well, hell was created for the devil and the one-third of the angels who followed him. No longer was he going to have life with God either. You see, having lost his status there, he had nothing to do and nothing to say to Adam and Eve but lies. Jesus spoke of him and said, lying is his native tongue. So it's no surprise then that he would go around and even up to this day encourage people to believe that sins are no longer sins, with the results being, like himself, having life without God. Well, God did not want this to be a permanent situation for Adam and Eve, so God sent his son to this earth to correct the problem. Now, if you go to John's first letter, okay, 1 John, you find out why the Son of God came to this earth. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And what did the tempter, the great deceiver, bring into this world? Sin and death. And that brings us to our gospel reading for today. Now Jesus, the Son of God, okay, well, he came into the world in a usual and unusual way. In the usual way, he was born, just like you and I. Okay, he was born into this world, but also, too, he was conceived in an unusual way by the Holy Spirit. So that way, he would be known as Son of the Most High God. Jesus is both man and God. He had to be man so that he could experience the very same things that you and I experience, namely, temptation. Now, the tempter came to him, Jesus, who'd been out there in the wilderness for 40 days. There's 40 days in Lent. Now, for the record, again, as I mentioned there in the announcements, that Sundays are not included in Lent. Why? Well, what happened on a Sunday? Jesus rose from the grave alive. We celebrate each and every Sunday as a little Easter. Okay? And so what comes at the end of Lent? Easter, when Jesus rose from the grave alive. So that's why Sundays are in Lent and not of Lent. Now, going back to Jesus. After 40 days of not eating, he's hungry. Now, most of us like to eat. Some of us more than others, okay? Now, if you go 40 days without eating, regardless of how big your pantry is, you're not going to make it. Nobody can go 40 days without eating. But yet, Jesus did, and so he's hungry. Devil comes up to him, hey, turn these stones right here into bread. What's he doing? He's tempting him with a basic need, food. You need food. But Jesus replies to him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Quoting Scripture there. And so the next temptation, devil takes him to the top of the temple there in Jerusalem. Now, I mentioned this, that here they were in the wilderness, and now they make their way into Jerusalem, and he takes them there to the top of the temple. Okay? There's no ladder. There's no steps. He just takes them there. And why do I mention that? Well, I mention that because Satan, the devil, well, he has some extraordinary powers. It's not so much that we should be afraid of him, but rather we should have respect for that. Respect that he's got that kind of power. Now, if that being the case, that that's at his disposal, he tempts Jesus here. Throw yourself down. And so what does the devil do? He tempts him by quoting Scripture. He says he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Now that's from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. It's interesting to note here that the full quote of that first part is this. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Interesting how the devil picks and chooses what he wants to use and quote scripture there in order to tempt you and I. How much more important it is for us to know what scripture really says. You see, because that part that he left out, to guard you in all your ways, those angels are there to help you keep God's ways and not abuse them. Satan left that part out. So, what did Satan want to do in this? Well, he wanted to tempt Jesus that, hey, if you throw yourself down, you're going to force God to make sure he saves you. That's what he wanted to have happen. But Jesus said, quoting scripture again, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And so then there's that last temptation. Takes him up on a high mountain and shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he goes, hey, if you just bow down and worship me, I will give you all of these kingdoms. Incredible. More lies. It's not within the devil's purview to give any kingdom to anybody. Sure, the earth is his domain. This is where he lives. But it's not within his power there to give anybody all the kingdoms of the world. Again, a lie. Jesus tells him to get lost. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Well, Jesus overcomes all the temptations. Jesus defeats the devil. But there's still one part to destroy, and that's death. Okay? Jesus, as a human being there, was tempted just as you and I are, and yet he was without sin. And so he takes that sinless life to the cross. And there he offers up that sinless life on our behalf, a perfect life on behalf of all who have been tempted and sinned. He takes the punishment and wrath of God upon himself and dies on that cross. Jesus had to be sinless, okay? Jesus had to be God in order to be sinless, but he also had to be man in order to die, and die he did. But again, recall, Sundays are not included in counting in the 40 days of Lent. Why? Because Jesus rose from the grave alive, giving all who believe that what was lost in the beginning, life has now returned. You see, John records all these events and stuff like that in Scripture there. He says that all these things are written down so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you would have life in his name. It's all about life. Having life and restored back to us. And that's what Jesus did. He destroyed the works of the devil, sin and death, and that life gives us hope. See, the devil's like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And he shoots temptations our way. And he tries to create doubts in God and in his word. Is that really a sin? Are you sure? Have you checked lately? Did the Bible really say that? You know, maybe you have a basic need, right? It's like, you know, it's okay to steal a little bit there. You know, if you need to get some groceries, it's all right. Nobody's going to see you. Nobody's going to know. Again, lie upon lie upon lie. And the hard part is that sometimes we do indeed succumb to temptation and the tempter, and consequently, we sin. And that's when we need to remember that Jesus came for sinners such as you and I. He came so that he might earn forgiveness of sins for you and me. Jesus is our Savior. He won the victory over sin, death, and the devil. And that victory is ours so that we could be with him in heaven forever. That means we have life. And that means it's ours forever. And that's the hope that we have. Hope found in God's Word. So it's all the more reason to read it and study it and take it in, so we will know what is a sin and what is not. So we know that the promises that are given to us in our baptism and in the Lord's Supper are truly ours. We have forgiveness of sins and the hope of everlasting life. You see, those promises are ours. And we need to remember that when we hear the lies of the tempter. But we also need to remember and know that the devil has lost. Jesus has won. That victory is always ours. No matter what comes up against us in our life today, we have the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To God be praise and glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise as we sing our hymn of the day.